The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Me as the king of my own life doesn't end well.
Coming up, a young man struggling with life and religion answers with a video poem that goes viral with over 21 million views.
Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention, how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection.
The man and the video, next.
The 20 million people wish they were, way on up beyond that, watched this young man on YouTube. Jefferson Beth gives his name. I don't think anybody really knew his name, maybe not even cared. You're trying to figure out what this guy's doing. We talked about basically, I hate religion, but ended up, I love Jesus. And so you're beginning to wonder, does the guy, you know, is he mad at the church or what's going on? And I want to say this, and right here locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, let me just say, Jack Graham, Prestonwood Church. Hey, Jack, I've always admired you and loved you. You've been here, been a guest many times. We've been friends for years. But when the media and a lot of people came down on this guy, Jack, you just immediately stood up and said, you know what? He's just right about a lot of things he's saying about where religion gets out of place. And I believe he loves Jesus. I believe we need to be listening. Jack, as you're going to hear from the young man yourself, what that meant to him at the moment when the fray and the views began, you stood like a statesman for God, and I want to thank you. You're going to get to hear the young man yourself right here. Why don't we just listen to that YouTube that went viral immediately and went around the world. Here it is.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat, but it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it he called them fools. Don't you see so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let him in? See, remember he was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention. how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man, which is why salvation is freely mine and forgiveness is my own, not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because he took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down his face. He took what we all deserved. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, he yelled, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Because when he was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you. And he absorbed all your sin and he buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, "Come on, there's room." So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it.
I love it.
Thank you.
I was impressed to reach over and pick up a book I wrote 12 years ago because one of the chapters in it is Religion Can Be Dangerous.
Mm. Should have you in the video.
I want you to know that you echoed what I believe every sensitive to God person knows in their heart. And by the way, if you take offense because, you know, you really appreciate what's happened at church, and you think he was taking a shot at your church or your fellowship or your family, you didn't hear him. He was exposing idolatry or religion that has replaced relationship, and we've moved over into the worship of something mm-hmm. that not only keeps us from God, it keeps others from being drawn to God. And I really appreciate the way you said it. Now tell us about yourself, because you obviously you'd experienced some things where you had seen that religion didn't have it had a bad side.
Exactly.
And then you saw the beautiful side of Jesus.
Yeah. So I mean, I came to this realization through experience. I didn't come and then of course through reading, but growing up, I was the kid who I was better than you because I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I didn't have sex, right? And that was going to get me to heaven, right? And I would call myself a Christian because of that. And then I get to high school and girls became a lot more attractive than those rules, right? And because here's the truth, if you are trying to white knuckle God and you're trying to combat the pleasures of the world with just hard-working obedience that has no intimacy with Jesus, it's not going to work. You're going to fail. And that's what happened. The world got more attracted. I said, I'm in, right? I'll do that now. And then I started living that lifestyle for a few years, and that's where I came to the realization that I tried to articulate in the video that there's two enemies of Jesus. There's one enemy of sin, and they manifest themselves in two ways, rebellion and religion, right? Rebellion of the, I can do whatever I want, get out of my life, let me do, I'm God, right? And then there's religion, where it's, I can earn my way to God, I can earn his favor. And that's not me making that up. That's completely biblical in Luke 15 of the prodigal son, right? And what we've done to that story is we've made it simply about the rebellious son. Because the rebellious son, and this was me, and I didn't learn this difference forever, where the rebellious son comes home and it's a beautiful picture of grace, of just the father embracing the son in his filth, in his mud, which is exactly what the cross is, right? At the cross, he's embracing us in our dirtiness. But then that's it, that's just the story, but not in the scriptures. That's what we make it, but then the scriptures keeps going, where then all of a sudden the older brother kind of hears some music, you know, he kind of hears maybe the hip hop, the bass, you know, thumping, and he's like, what's going on? And then one of the servants says, your dad's throwing a party, your son just came home. I mean, your brother came home and he was dead, and now he's alive. And then what does the older son do? He says, that's not fair. I was good, I did what my dad wanted, I should be in there, and that's religion. And then the father comes out and says, everything has been yours. I just wanted intimacy, right? The rules are okay, but that's when they flow from intimacy. And the older son missed that, and we never address that. We only address the younger son.
I say amen to all of it. Now that you've had the exposure, what do you think God wants to do with it? Because I know, and I've said this to you in private, mm-hmm. And I knew it when I saw you. I knew it when we were visiting before we came out. You really do have a special touch of God. Did you write that poem?
Yep, yep.
And did you just kind of sit down and go through it, and then you said, hey, I'd like to find a way to do it? Did somebody else give you some ideas, or did you come up with the whole picture of how I was going to do it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I definitely won't steal, you know, any thunder or glory from that. What happened is I actually read a book called Prodigal God by a guy named Tim Keller. Anyone needs to read that book if they have access to it.
What a great
Because that's exactly what I just explained. It shows that juxtaposition. Right. I read it, and I was like, man, I need to do something with this. And at this time, I was in college. So I wrote the poem in hopes to perform it in front of a few hundred people at my open mic. And then it didn't happen because I graduated, and they didn't have another open mic at the end of the year. Sat on it, never think I'd do anything with it. And then one of my best friends is a video guy and said, hey, let's put it on YouTube. And I said, okay, cool. You know, all three people will see it. And then it got a little crazy.
So what changed your life from that erroneous way you were walking, and then when you turned around and you reached that point, and what brought about the Keller book, or what was it?
It was a process for me, but I would say there's a few different ways you can come to God. It's not always just the, you know, crash and burn, essentially, but mine was close to that. Mine was, I was always the guy that everything I touched turned to gold, right? I was on the good baseball team. I had the girlfriend, and then all of a sudden when God started to slowly pull those things from me, I realized my life was built on sand. Right? And it wasn't. It was sinking, and it was empty, and it was foolish. And that's what he did, is he took two idols from me really quick. I was freshman year of college. I got kicked off the baseball team. I got put on academic probation, and my girlfriend broke up with me all in like 24 hours. I was like, well, this sucks, right? You know? And it was rough, and it was really tough. And it was in that moment God showed me that me as the king of my own life doesn't end well. Anyone as the God or the king of their own life does not end well. And it was in that moment I opened the scriptures and I started to read the scriptures. And at first I was like, was this even the Bible I was reading as a kid? Because it just seemed so much more vibrant, so much more different. I saw Jesus who was compassionate and just, you know, gentle and would cross racial and socioeconomic lines. But then I flipped the page and see a Jesus who makes a whip of cords and goes UFC on all these people in the temple, right? And so I'm just like, this dude cannot be put on a box. I want in. Like, I want him, right? And that's when I start following. So.
And you definitely cannot put him in a box. Mm-hmm. And humanity tries.
Were you surprised at the response?
From the video?
From the video.
Completely surprised on both ends, right? I didn't think it would strike a chord in regards to resonating with so many people in a good way, and I didn't think it would strike a chord with them making people that angry at me, which was really difficult on both ends. It was really difficult because I think in the human heart, especially in my generation, because we're the most fatherless generation that's ever lived, we just want someone to tell us we're good enough. That's really the goal of most of my age demographic. That's why people in high school usually say goodbye to Jesus on the altar of cool. They'll do anything if only their friends tell them they're cool, right? And God exposed that in my heart. He completely exposed it where I didn't realize I was addicted to the praise of man until either they all really told me I was awesome, or they all really told me I wasn't, and then all of a sudden I started craving it. And it was through that I realized that God's affirmation of Jesus in the cross and his resurrection is my identity.
Oh, that's great. Now, I want to be an encourager, and I want to help you do what, in any way, what you believe God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. And I think our viewers would love to pray for you. What do you think God wants you to do? What do you see right now?
In the future?
Yeah.
That's a tough question, right? My roommate always makes fun of me because he's like, bro, you don't even know what you're going to eat 2 hours from now, right? And so I'm like, people ask me that question. I'm like, if I can talk about Jesus, I'm in, you know? So I've tried to pray about that and try to really think about that. And I think the way that God's leading is I have a huge heart for urban ministry, inner city ministry, kind of like Tim Keller, which is why I have such an affinity towards him, where I want to see. Because the thing I see is, I see someone either being very great at the proclamation of the word. Every Sunday, they just preach the Bible for an hour, they expose the scriptures, and it's great. And then their church building sits empty for 6 days a week. Or I see someone who says, we just need to love on everyone. Let's just bring fairy dust on everyone, and everyone will be good, and everyone will be awesome, right? And then they show the display of the proclamation of the word. But I want to do both, right? Well, I want a place that manifests his body.
Well, I'm getting a vision with you.
Right
now.
All right.
I'm serious. I'm getting a vision with you.
Let's hear it.
And I'm being serious with you because you're being an answer to a prayer I've had. Because I come from the slums. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the product of rape, no father, mm-hmm. never had a home. And I was the real poor. And I went and preached to homeless people here in Fort Worth the other day. It was real special.
Yeah.
And I've been praying for a long time to be able to get to the inner city kids. Mm-hmm. And I'd never thought this. I'm trying to get the suburban, urban churches mm-hmm. and all the surrounding, you know, the upper end churches to yeah. help the inner city churches. I'm mm-hmm. working on that. I'm succeeding at it, and a lot yep. of people can tell you that because it's in my heart. Mm-hmm. But what I just heard you saying, mm-hmm. these churches sit empty during the week. Mm-hmm. I just really wonder if it wouldn't be possible. And by the way, if you can show me how, and you go back and talk to your pastor about it, because mm-hmm. this is big on my heart, because mm-hmm. I am a father. I'm a grandfather. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to the kids in the inner city about coming from nothing yeah. and not living up with hate and how you get the Father when you didn't have a Father.
Exactly.
And how you have a relationship mm-hmm. and you can really look beyond your pain and see possibilities mm-hmm. and there's nothing impossible. I want to talk to them. But I just had this little vision while you were talking. What if we could try to encourage some of the churches mm-hmm. to let somebody like yourself, and I'll be glad to work with you. I'll be trying mm-hmm. to get people to work with you. We might just have to start somewhere and see it build. Mm-hmm. But ask some of the churches to make their building available during the week
yeah.
for us to get the inner city kids yeah. to all come and yeah. listen to you and,
yeah.
and maybe some cool music
yeah.
and then maybe an old man.
maybe an a few tweets.
Like yeah,
a few tweets.
You could tweet, Twitter, you could tweet whatever it. You want to do. I don't care. You know?
No, but that,
you might yeah. teach me. You could teach me some stuff.
but we'll do it. We'll do a poem duet.
Hey, we could go, though, and love these kids.
Yeah.
And does it even make sense? In other words, if the churches would make a building available during yeah. the week,
because
exactly. these kids, you know, they're not hung up on we got to go on the weekend.
Exactly.
They like to go somewhere at night. It's your mom
exactly.
like let them go, you know,
yep.
just go
yep.
somewhere decent.
Exactly.
You know, like nobody's getting drunk down there.
Yep.
He's going to sit around and
go ahead.
We're going to sit around and tweet.
Yeah.
Okay. So they all want to go. But I really
fast.
Heard that. Then let me give you this little thing that I've learned this year, because mm-hmm. you know, I've been around a long time, but I'm on an interesting journey. You know, Abraham went out not knowing where.
Yep.
He didn't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
He just knew who is following.
Exactly.
You heard the song. It was a country song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You may not. Do you ever heard that?
Most I was, was going to try to lie and say,
yeah.
Brooks,
Brad Paisley. Let me tell you, I got something.
Here, Taylor Swift.
I got something more relevant,
mm-hmm.
One step at a time,
mm-hmm.
Sweet Jesus.
Mm.
That's how you're living right now.
Yeah.
That's the safest way to live.
Yeah.
So don't be disappointed if you can't see too far down the road.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing is dreaming with you.
Mm-hmm.
You just said something pretty big, and
yeah.
it's going out all over the world.
Yeah.
What if churches would make their buildings, your beautiful paid-for buildings,
yeah.
put you some security down there if you're just scared, spitless. Okay? I don't know why you need security. You're not
yeah.
bothering anybody. Here's the thing. Look,
yeah.
if they would open their buildings and let somebody like you come in and say, I want to talk to all the kids.
Yeah.
And maybe an old guy like me comes, let's talk about fathers. Does it
yeah.
make sense?
No, that makes a ton of sense. And I think that's what we need. You know, we need someone who doesn't make the church building an idol, who that thing is so worn out by the time they die and we go to glory
yeah.
that I don't think Jesus is going to look at the building. And I wish you would have redone the carpet before you came up here, right?
No.
And I just... they should be worn out because there should be kingdom work going on in them. And that's my heart, is to whether it's in the building or in the city. I mean, a lot of people always want to be this huge televangelist and preaching all over the world, but sometimes my dream is literally just to move in the inner city and be a good husband and father, because that is the biggest ministry that will touch those hearts.
That's my heart. See, me and Betty both sitting here wishing we could get off television. So we,
because you don't mean like that.
Oh, I'm serious with
yeah.
you. You don't understand. We're here by divine assignment. She says I bring her up here kicking and screaming every week. I just drag her up here. We want to just go off and just disappear.
Yeah.
God won't let. This is an assignment here.
Exactly.
It's like He stuck you
he
on that.
Here.
You didn't know that was going to go
exactly.
like that. But now what we can do together. And with all of you,
send out and
we can pray,
empower.
God, show us our steps. And everyone out here, what all of you out here in this audience need to understand is, and it's really, really important that all of you get it. See, this is not like this. This must be somebody so special. Look what God did. You hear this out here in this audience. You have no idea how special you are to God. You have no idea how important you are to His purpose, His kingdom purpose. No idea. Say, God, show me. And it could be that you touch one person. You never, but just, God, what do you want to do with me? You're so important. You're so special. Father, I pray you'll show Jefferson and every person watching and every person in the studio how special you are, how special you should be to them, and how special they are to you. And I pray, dear God, that they will right now say, Lord, you're going to be the center of my life. I'm going to have intimacy with you, and I want you to direct my steps. And God, thank you for the churches that become the family that expresses your life and your love. And heal our churches and make them healthy. In Jesus' name. If you want someone to pray with you, call the number. We'd be so happy to pray with you and pray for you. Would you say thanks to God and thanks to Jefferson for sharing with us?
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Big time.
Big time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I want all of you right now to know we are giving smiles and shoes for Christmas. There'll be people calling right now saying, pray with me. I want to show you someone you can be an answer to their prayer and their need. Watch.
My amiga.
Life Outreach International's mission is to share the truth of God's love in word and deed with people throughout the world. Together with our friends and partners, we provide the essentials of life for people. Like water for those who, for the first time in their life, now have safe, clean water to drink. For thousands of children who once suffered from malnutrition, but now have a hot meal to eat each day. Young girls, once in bondage in the dark and deadly world of human trafficking, are being rescued and restored. And families trapped in grinding poverty now have hope for a better future, living in a safe and secure home provided by Life. This season, we once again have the opportunity to impact the lives of thousands of children who are exposed to the ravages of hookworm disease simply because they don't have protection for their feet. It's a simple remedy, shoes. Shoes that can prevent children from suffering anemia, malnutrition, and in severe cases, death caused by hookworms that invade their bodies through their feet.
This is a significant outreach towards improving the health and the lives of children all around the world. Not all of you can come here and have the privilege that I have of actually putting the shoes on the feet of these beautiful children, but you can still be a big part because really, you know, we can't do it without you. Do what you can. Give as many pairs of shoes as you can. Every time you do it, you will be making a child's day and you will be improving their health.
Yeah, I want you to put that little kid back up that minute. I want everybody to see that. Look at that little fella, how happy he is. You see that? That's joy. Little feet, got some shoes. You know, Betty, when I see those little children's faces, well, that's a pretty little boy.
It's precious.
It's just joy. We can give joy.
Yeah, we can so easily, James. And these children, not just the fun of seeing their smiles when we give them something like shoes, because they've never had them, a lot of them, but to know that they're there for a purpose. We're giving them for a purpose, and that's to help them avoid diseases that they can get, just as we saw, walking around on all the obstacles that are on the ground and keeping them from getting sick.
Well, and they do get terrible diseases from hookworms. It gets into their intestines and even into their little brains, and it's just destructive. We want to ask you to dial the telephone number there, and we know we're going to be talking about Christmas way ahead of time, but we want to get the shoes and, yes, provide the surgery for our Christmas smiles to do the cleft palate surgeries where we can. We want to ask you to begin right now making it possible. We've already found 200,000 children located where the missionaries have a heart to help them and to see the healing come not only to their lives and their communities, but to their bodies. So would you please dial that number, take your bank card. Would you make a gift? The shoes are $3.60 a piece, $36. We got 10 pairs of shoes. You may be able to give hundreds of pairs of shoes. You make a very special gift. Whatever you can do, you make the best gift you can. We're sending you a beautiful Christmas ornament for those of you who will make a gift of $100 or more. That is actually a little shoe. It's beautiful. And you'll put it on the tree, and I can promise you this, you're going to be thinking about all of the children that you were able to help because of the love of God that was expressed through your gift. We want to send you also a book our son wrote. This is the first book that Randy has written that's been published. God wants you to be happy, discovering deeper joy than you ever imagined. Our son is a gifted teacher. He's always been an awesome student, and he is a great communicator, but he's also a gifted writer. What amazed us, and everybody that's read the book, was the incredible gift to communicate and teach the truth from God's Word reminds me in many ways of Beth Moore. Sometimes I say, my goodness, this is amazing to me. Well, you can experience joy even as you read the book, which we'll send for any gift that you make to help us give the shoes and the smiles. If you can make a gift of $1,000 or more, we have a special art piece, a collectible that I know you're going to treasure. We want to send it to you to say thank you. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. But would you please, would you dial that number right now and let us know what God has impressed you to do? Even if you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're sending. Thank you so much for doing it.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the inspirational new book, God Wants You to Be Happy, by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison. With your gift of $100 to help provide 28 pairs of shoes, you may request this beautifully crafted shoe ornament to place on your tree each Christmas. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for helping us. Please do all you can to provide the shoes. There's Jefferson's website. Now, I wasn't just trying to be nice, and I said, that's been on my heart about the inner city. Dr. Tony Evans here will tell you how much I've tried to work with him in the inner city. He knows my heart. Boy, I love him. I love all these churches trying to reach out. Tim Keller. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he just had to cancel being here because he had a conflict because he was coming. Mm-hmm. And we love these people. Listen to me. You want to know how to communicate? There's his website. Check it out and be praying for him. Join Betty and me and saying thanks again.
Thank you so much.
In college, Gwen and Brad covered up her pregnancy with an abortion. Join us next week as Gwen, one of the girlfriends in God, shares her journey from broken to beautiful. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.